98FM's Dublin Talks.
Now, on to matters a bit more serious. While over 50,000 Irish women give birth every year, it's estimated that a further 14,000 women miscarry spontaneously every year. Just think about those figures for a moment. Every year, 14,000 women miscarry. Why do we never hear about this? Well, because a lot of the time women who miscarry, they don't speak about it. They don't put it up on Facebook. If you have a baby, you put it up on Facebook. It's all over Facebook. If you miscarry, you generally don't put it up on Facebook. We rarely hear the issues discussed in the media. And when we do, we often hear women talking about it. We never hear men talking about it. Well, a Dublin man has written an article online during the week that's got a lot of coverage. And it's all to do with how men deal with the trauma of miscarriage and coming from a male perspective. His name is Dara Quinn. He's a freelance writer and he joins us on the show. You're very welcome along to 98FM, Dara.
That's great, Jeremy. Thank you very much. Good to be on.
First of all, I want to commend you as a man. I love to hear men speaking openly about their feelings and about stuff that's so personal and so emotive because, you know, I've heard women talking about miscarriages before. I've never heard a man speak so openly as you did in the article. And first of all, I want to commend you for that because I think I think us as men, as husbands, as fathers, you need to speak more about stuff like this. I just want to read a couple of lines from the article that you wrote. And he said, "Me and my wife had a miscarriage a few years back. And that was how I first became aware of this taboo. Previously, I thought that miscarriages were not that common. I realised then that they are extremely common and not just talked about in our society." Now, the first thing that struck me about that, Dara, is that you said that me and my wife had a miscarriage. And I thought that was a lovely thing to say because as a couple, you both, obviously it's the woman that miscarries the child, but as a couple, you both have to go through this trauma. Take me back. How many years ago did this happen?
We're talking not that long ago, Jeremy. Only about just over 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So, was it your first attempt at pregnancy, or where were you at in that stage?
It was our first attempt, absolutely. And I remember afterwards. It's probably kind of what prompted writing the article is that I got a bit mad, you know, because. I was going through this and I felt all the emotions that came with it. And at the same time, I felt a bit lost. I didn't really know where to go.
Yes, who do you talk to about? Yeah, exactly, do you talk to people about it? When you're with a work colleague, do you say at the office, by the way, just some bad news, my wife miscarried last week. It is one of those things. How many people did you tell after it happened?
Well, to be honest, I didn't have too much of a problem in telling people because I felt like I really needed to, you know. And I was at the beginning, I just didn't know, like I didn't think anybody I knew had a miscarriage because I had never talked to anyone about it or no one had ever told me about their experiences. So I just felt like I didn't know that they, or just felt like they didn't have them. And it turned out from me starting to talk to people and letting them know what happened to us that the stories were coming out of the woodwork, you know.
As in, when you
family and friends.
Yes, when you opened up about it, yeah, other people.
Absolutely.
And you were saying the reactions from different people in your article. You were saying some gave you a pat on the back and said hard luck. Others grieved with you. What was the general reaction when people found out about it?
People are generally great, but I mean the spectrum is massive. I mean, as you said there, people will just give you a pat on the back and say, you know, hard luck. Off you go, try again, you know. And they may not have gone through it, or they may have, and that's just their feeling on it. And right up to people who will send you mass cards and will give you mass intentions, etc. And it is a full-on loss for some people.
And sorry for cutting across you. Did somebody actually say, I should just try again? Did they say that to you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, 100%. And generally, there's no hard feelings in it. They just, I remember at the time, just from someone who didn't have children and to the best of my knowledge, hadn't gone through a miscarriage. So didn't really realise the enormous loss and grief and suffering that can come with it.
Yeah.
So you're trying to take it personally, but it can be a tough thing to hear because you're going through something that's really terrible, you know.
And 3 years later, how are you now? How are you and your partner now?
You know, Jeremy, we're very fortunate afterwards. We have two small babies, a boy and a girl. And
I'm delighted to hear that.
We know how blessed we are because we still know friends who have gone through 3, 4, 5 miscarriages, people who are going through enormously stressful amounts of IVF, and it can be really hard, you know. So we're very, very grateful.
Well, you know what, Dara, I'm delighted that you have spoken up about this, because this is what this is going to do today on the show. And what I wanted to get you on for was it's going to open up the doors for other people, not just men and women, to talk about it, because I really believe, A, we don't talk about it enough, and B, we don't know how to react when it happens to someone else. That if you know that if a work colleague turned around to me tomorrow, a girl I work with, and said I miscarried last week, I wouldn't know what to say or what to do. But you have two beautiful children now, that doesn't take away from the trauma and the how is your partner at the moment? How is she? Is she?
Oh, well, great. But I mean, it's always a loss that stays with you. And it's great to make the point about guys. I mean, I have, friends that, I'd go out with and we'd watch the match together and have a few beers. And that's all great. And it has its place. It's healthy as well. But these could be guys that all of a sudden, after years of knowing them, suddenly realizing that they went through something that I went through as well.
Dara, I know you're heading off to a meeting, but I just wanted to read out a few text messages for you, Dara, just of support for you coming out, because I think what you've done in your article, you've kind of opened up a can of worms here, and hopefully made other men talk openly about this. Fair play to Dara. It's very refreshing to hear a man speak so openly about his feelings like this. Well done. I wish him all the luck in the future. I'm so sorry to hear what Dara and his partner went through, but he seems stronger now to have gone through it. Can you please ask Dara a question? Did he get offended when people said try again? Because this is something that has been said to me after two miscarriages.
I didn't, Jeremy. I kind of put it in context of people not meaning any badness, you know. I mean, because people don't talk about this so much, it's hard for other people to know how difficult it can be. So I would just try and open up the forum and just try and talk as much about it as possible to people when they are next talking to someone who's gone through a miscarriage, and particularly men to other men. They'll be able to be a lot more compassionate and be able to empathize a lot more with what they're going through, so that they kind of will be able to judge a little better on the things that they say to them, you know.
Thanks very much. That's Dara Quinn, freelance writer. And let me go to, by the way, if you want to get in on this, 6797981, you can text or WhatsApp us on 0877 98 98 98, and it's all about talking openly about this affects so many people, and that it shouldn't be bottled up. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You shouldn't be ashamed of it, and sometimes talking about it can help. Let me go to Niall. How are you, Niall?
How are you, Jeremy? How are you?
Grant, tell me your story, please.
Well, just before Christmas, well, the start of December, me and my partner got good news that we were expecting our second child. Ebony was going grand, got it confirmed for the GP, everything, up until literally the 4th of January, which was the Thursday. I was in work, and I work 8 to 8. I got a text off my partner at 7 o'clock in a panic, saying there was a bit of blood coming from down around the southern areas.
But by the way, during the pregnancy, spotting, as it's called, it's the one thing that worries the hell out of a man and a woman. It's the one thing. Yeah, and it's not always a bad thing, but it is just one of those warning signs. So you got the message from your partner.
Basically, I started panicking, so I couldn't finish work till 8 o'clock. So what I done was, we have another little fella, so we basically. I rang the mother-in-law and I said, look, can you just watch the young lad? There's a bit of spotting and we just want to go into the Coombe hospital to get seen. So we went into the Coombe on the Thursday night. So they took a pregnancy test. They said that the pregnancy test was a sort of a bleak line, but it was still there. So that we started, we're going home. They said there was nothing to really worry about. The blood wasn't really anything to worry about. So we sort of, you know, we were trying to say, well, what is it? What's the story happening? We were sort of all over the place with it. Then on the Saturday morning, the blood started getting a small bit heavier. So I said, right, we'll go back in. This is when my partner started realizing, right, there's something wrong. I just didn't believe it, Jeremy. I was saying, no, this isn't happening. Just saying to myself constantly, this isn't happening.
You don't want to believe it because you think that happens to other people. That doesn't happen. Yeah, that happen to me.
Exactly. That was on the Saturday. They checked down and they said that the cervix was closed, so the bleeding wasn't coming from, you know, it wasn't a miscarried blood. So we were, that, I mean, I burst out crying and joyment, as I say, you know. So we came home Saturday. We were sitting there Saturday. There was nothing really happening. We were going as any other Saturday would go, obviously worrying a small bit. And then at about 4 o'clock on the Sunday morning, my partner woke me up. There was a big, heavy flow coming out down there. Just in shock. There was a cloth. We sort of knew then that this was a miscarry type thing, you know. We went back to the kiln, obviously. We went in and they were sort of saying, look, you know, we want to send it to the EPU, which is the early pregnancy unit, but we had to wait a week because we had an appointment with them. But they sort of more or less summed it up that it was a miscarry on the Sunday. And that was, we came home, my partner was in shock. I sort of, me personally, my partner was just saying, look, just talk about it. I just didn't know what to say. I was trying to be strong for her. I was trying to be strong.
And that's the thing. As a man, you have to be, you're seen to be, you know, you're the one that has to hold everything together and be strong. But as well, you're trying to deal with this enormous grief that you're going through at the time.
And that's exactly. And I'll never forget it. We got the little fella in the bed at 6:30 the Sunday night. And I remember just sitting down on my couch and Shannon just sat beside me and just asked me, are you okay? And I just opened up crying. I couldn't stop. I was in an absolute joke. With the tears. Still to this day, I lost the little brother, Jeremy, when my mum lost the son as well when she was 7 months pregnant, Otterman syndrome, which is where his kidneys didn't develop. And I remember them telling me that it's not a case of learning how to get over it. It's just a case of learning how to deal with it.
Now this is quite fresh for you because it only happened at what was the start of January, isn't it?
Start of January, yeah, literally a month ago.
And how are you both at the moment?
Jeremy, if you want to be honest, I'm as well to be expected.
Is this the first time you've spoken openly about it, Niall? It's obviously the first time you've spoken on the radio about it, but is it the first time you've spoken openly about it?
I've spoke to family members. I've spoke to family members, you know, my mum, my dad, my nan and my granddad, the mother-in-law, Shannon, but I haven't gone outside that circle. You know, people have obviously, I told one or two people in work, just about it. One or two close friends in work, and they've sort of just sat down and, like, it came to a stage there when there were so many people, and maybe am I being selfish when I say this, but it came to a stage and I just said, look, I just don't want to talk, in work, I just don't want to really talk about it anymore. But, I mean, deep down, when I got home, my partner still asked me how I'm doing and vice versa. And, yeah, like, I mean, to be fair, it's the first time I've sort of opened up about it. Like, when I was listening to Dara there on the radio, I must say, you know, me hat off to him because, you know, as far as, it's, look, it was a shocking figure when you said it was 14,000 people have a miscarriage every year.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge figure.
You don't hear about it. Genuinely don't.
You don't hear men talking about it as well. And I can hear it in your voice, Niall, that you're hurting inside. I hope talking to us about it is helping you in some way.
It does, you know what I mean? It does. It's never going to be a case, Jeremy, that I'm ever going to get over it. You know what I mean? I heard there, I was listening just before I came on about, you know, did it offend people that you could try again? I'm sort of saying to, you know, me and Shannon have said, you know, if anything ever, this is before she got pregnant, if anything ever did happen, we could try again.
Yes.
You know, it's never offended me if someone said, look, there's always going to be the next time, it's going to happen. No, it never offended me. Maybe I'm not going to judge, say, look, you know, don't get offended by it. I mean, people are offended. People deal with grief in, you know, 101 different
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, nobody means harm by it when they say try again. But maybe it's just that we need to be a bit more, well, a bit more cautious talking to people who've been through it. Well, listen, give my regards to your partner as well, and I hope that the two of you can be strong together this time and pull through it. You know, it's. I always find talking about stuff like this, talking to people about it, I always think can help, can't it? I mean, it can't do any.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like I work in a hospital setting, and it's the same thing. Just talking. I mean, it's the simplest of things. It's just talking. But I just think, you know, from some men, I mean, they find it hard to talk. As I said, like, I always trying to be strong for my partner. I mean, but I mean, literally just I mean, even sitting down and just having a cup of tea and just chatting, it can't help. You know what I mean? It can't help. It can take a lot off the mind and shoulders, you know.
Well, Noel, the best of luck to you, and thanks very much for talking to us on 98FM. Let me go to, by the way, if you want to get in on this, 6797981 is our telephone number. Very heartbreaking listening to that young man, absolutely heartbroken after what he and his partner have gone through. But nice to hear a man talking about it, and to hear a man opening up about it. If you want to get in on this, you can call us 6797981, text or WhatsApp us 087 798 98 98. We're talking about how couples deal with the trauma and the heartache of going through a miscarriage. Let me go to Mary. Mary, you're on 98FM.
Hey, hey, Jeremy.
Now, you lost six miscarriages.
Six babies, yeah.
My God. I mean, that's more than any person should have to go through their life. The most recent case, how recent was it?
Well, it's now, I have a 17-year-old daughter now, so it was before that.
Okay, so
one
you...
One after the other.
So it was six attempts.
Sorry?
You had to, before you gave birth to your daughter, you had six attempts and six miscarriages.
Yeah, six miscarriages, yeah. Yeah, one after the other. One, I was 4 months. And the other 3 months, and just went on. But yeah, it's good to hear you talking about it. It's good to hear the men talking about it.
Yeah, isn't
it's
it?
Very difficult for it's very difficult for men as well. Because my husband didn't want to talk about it. Didn't he? He just dealt with being quiet, you know, and trying to keep me happy.
Because I think as men, there is this sort of pressure on us that we feel that we have to be strong for you. Has he ever spoken to anybody about it?
No. Now that we it's a good a few years ago. Now we had to go out to Glasnevin, the Angel's Grave in Glasnevin, and we have a little plaque out there, and that's where we go once a year. We go once a year, January, 10th of January. And that's he talks about it more now than he did.
But at the time he did he even talk to you about it? Did you sit down and talk about it?
No, because he always said he didn't want to upset me more. But if we were watching a programme on the telly or something, he'd that's when you could see by him. But he never really talked about it. But he does always remember. You just want to go out to Glasnevin.
Okay, he just deals with it in a different way.
Yeah.
And so it's something that you both regularly talk about to yourselves, among yourselves, even though it doesn't take away from the fact that it was over 17 years ago. But six miscarriages, you know, after the first one and after the second miscarriage, how difficult is it to try again for a baby knowing that it could happen again?
It's absolutely terrible. Your nerves is gone, and you just go through terrible fear stages, and it's just terrible. And you're not knowing where you're going to. You get pain. You have to go to the hospital, and then it's just you can't talk about it to anyone. It's sort of just forgotten about. But yet to you is your baby.
Why do you think people, I mean, there's hordes and hordes of messages coming into us now from people who've been through it, and, you know, it's their own reasons. They don't want to talk about it publicly.
Yeah.
And that's their choice.
The first time I spoke about it, to be honest.
No way, really?
Yeah, on the radio, yeah. Like, and like this, I sort of only talk about it more now than I did then, because I don't think anyone wants to hear about miscarriage.
I don't agree with you. I think I wouldn't say it's nice to hear these stories, but it's nice to hear other people's experiences. Well, why did you decide to talk to us today about it?
Because it never leaves me mind, and I always think, was that a boy? Was there a girl? Like, I don't know, and it never ever leaves your mind.
But it's interesting that the first port of call for you to talk about it is in such a public way. I mean, there's 50-odd thousand people listening to you now. I don't want to put you under pressure, by the way.
No, you're making me nervous.
No, don't, absolutely not, because what you will do by talking about this is give other people strength to talk about it. And if, you know, doing this topic today makes 10 people, you know, when they go home, talk to their partner about it or talk to a work colleague about it, then our job is done. And, you know, I feel even by doing this topic and even getting you to open up, I think we've done our job today, because if it's made even one person like yourself open up, I think that's a good thing. And, you know,
the way I look at it, I think that they're my six angels. They had a heartbeat, and one of them I had up to nearly 4 months. So to me, they were babies. That's the way I look at it.
Of course, yeah.
They're me angels. That's the way I look at it. I have an angel on my shoulder for them. That's why I have a tattoo. An angel on my shoulder.
Mary, I really, really thank you for talking to us on 98FM today. And give my regards to your husband as well, okay?
I will. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. We will be giving out a helpline number in a couple of moments for those of you who've been affected by this. As I said, 14,000 a year have been affected by it. And, you know, we're talking to people openly about it, and I appreciate that. But I also appreciate that some people don't feel comfortable about talking to it. One more call on this, and that is Anita. How are you, Anita?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad at all. I know it's quite difficult listening to these heartbreaking stories, but I do think it's important to hear them. You've been through this three times.
I had 6 years to try and conceive our son through many different methods in many different countries, and eventually we got pregnant naturally, which was just incredible. And when my son was 26 weeks old, I found out I was pregnant again. We couldn't believe it. It was incredible that we had spent so many years and there was another one coming.
It often happens that way. You're most likely to get pregnant straight after giving birth, but you're most fertile. they're most fertile, they say, at that stage.
Yeah, so we were, okay, it was a big shock, but we were happy. And I went to that was the first time I'd even, you know, sort of ever experience going to a doctor that sort of early with pain or anything like that. And I remember going and the doctor saying, yeah, well, it kind of seems you're probably coming on about 9-10 weeks, but your bloods, we ran the bloods this morning and they don't look very good. It looks like you're going to lose the pregnancy, and, you know, keep me posted over the weekend. I'll actually never forget it. It was coming up onto Easter weekend, and just kind of sent me on my way and said, like, keep me posted over the next few days. And yeah, he was right. So about 24 hours later, I started to lose the pregnancy. That feeling, I don't think there are any words, because it's such a, you like to actually physically feel losing something. You can feel, it's just, it's really so hard to explain. But you feel, as a woman for myself, you just feel like such a failure. You feel like this is what your body was made to do, and you can't do what it's supposed to do. And, you know, what am I doing wrong? And it's so, so difficult to process it yourself. And I think in this country, I'm actually abroad at the minute, but in Ireland especially, I think this idea of, sure, look, you're grand, exactly what that man said, you can just try again, you know, have another one. And I remember my like, grandmother and my aunties, look, come here, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and you should just go again.
The worst thing you can say to someone who's just miscarried, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. And so, I'm sorry, Anita, because I'm running out of time and I don't want to rush you, but how did your partner hold up through all this?
Not particularly. Honestly, I kind of just went in and locked the bedroom door. I was just really, I felt sort of selfish, but I just couldn't really process what was happening myself. And then afterward, we were pregnant again a couple of months later. We lost that one. And then a couple of months, about 6 months after that as well. So we had three
in a row.
In a year. Yeah. And then after the last one, I said, look, you know, we haven't even spoken about the first one, never mind this one. And I went to hospital for the third one. I was like, I think we just need to just stop this. This is just, you know, we had nothing to say to each other. He was like, look, I don't know what to say. If I say something, it's going to be the wrong thing. I don't know how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And
men, by the way, that's not just your partner. Men never know the right thing to say. I do it myself. I always say the wrong thing. Always.
I think in situations like that, especially where it's a very sort of tenuous and very sensitive time, that it doesn't matter what somebody is going to say, it's never going to be the thing that you want to hear, because you know, you want to hear that everything is okay.
There was nothing that he could have said to you that would have made it all right anyway. So
no,
that's,
absolutely,
you know.
Not. And we never really spoke about it after that. We spoke a few months after the last one, and I said, I think now we need to just not try this again. We need to just not have any more, and certainly not have any more of this. And the tension that it puts, because if I'm sad about it, thinking about it, which you can be, you know, he's like, well, why are you sad? And I'm going, well, really, you don't know. To know that sort of way, it builds up this sort of block between you. And I think it stays there for quite some time until I hope until we're probably older and, you know, we can look back and think, well, you know, maybe it's right. Maybe it wasn't meant to be. But, you know, at the time, it's so hard to see. It's so hard to see what, you know, what's the right thing to do and the right thing to say.
Well, Anita, I want to thank you very much for talking to us and sharing your story with us on 98FM, and the best of luck to you and your partner as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Let me just read out a text message there from, and this kind of sums up what we're talking about. And the text message says, my girlfriend had 3 miscarriages in the last year, but I don't want to talk about it, says that person. I completely understand to that texter. And for those of you who don't want to talk to us about it, I want to give you a phone number to ring. It's the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. And the number is, it's no one number, it's 873-5702. 873-5702. Obviously, we could only talk to so many people on the air today. There was a lot of people, in particular men, who just didn't want to talk about it. And if you don't want to talk to me about it or talk to 98FM about it, that's fine. I completely understand. But please talk to somebody about it. Don't bottle it up, because you're going through exactly what the woman in your life is going through as well. So it's the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. 873-5702. 873-5702. They're the people to talk to.
98FM's Dublin Talks with the Des Kelly Interiors gift voucher for beds, flooring and more. 98FM.